Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community.
Wow. I should preach on my birthday more often, maybe. Thank you all. Let me get set up here a little bit. I don't know which way to turn this. I've never done this before, so I have to get it all set up. You guys are my guinea pigs today. So, happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers out here. You look beautiful today, as always, and this is a real treat for me to be able to stand up here today and bring forth the word. And I also have a special guest in the house today, my mom. Is sitting right here behind me. If you don't know my mom and dad, they drove here from Baldwin City this morning, so I'm very excited to have them here. I kind of had a little hint here and there this past week that they were coming, but last night she informed me that they were going to come, so I'm very happy to have you guys here and sitting in the second row. I personally want to thank all of you moms that are in this house today, and to let you know that I love you, and I want you to know how important you are to me, each and every one of you. You play a special role in my life, and I love every one of you, and I want you to know that right off the bat. And the other thing I wanted to say is, have you just loved the Justice series that Steve's been preaching in the book of James? I have just so enjoyed that, his teaching us about the trials that we go through. You know, we're supposed to count it all joy when we go through those trials. And anything that the Lord has for us is so much better than what the enemy tempts us with. We've learned that in the book of James. And then last week we talked about partiality and how there is no partiality in the kingdom of God. Amen? He wants us to all come to know him and to serve him. This series has been such a great reminder to me about how we should live as Christians and who we should rely on. But today we're going to step away from the book of James, and I'm going to take you to the end of Romans, because he asked me to speak. I guess I get to choose what I want to speak about, and I feel like this is where the Lord is leading us today. So, and as I said before, this is something I've never done before. We've talked about me speaking for several years, and you know, I always say, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. Those of you that know me and kind of know where I came from, you know, it's easy for me to get up and sing. I could sing to you all day long because I'm used to that. But you ask me to speak, and I get just a little bit nervous. And so, anyway, you guys get to go through my nerves today. And anyway, it's not about me, right? It's about Jesus. So to get us ready today, I want you to have your Bible open to Romans 16, 1 and 2. Have you ever written a letter and just felt like the words inside were so valuable that when you got to the end, you were like, how do I wrap this letter up? The words are so important and so special. I am just not sure what I want to say. Those of you that have never written a letter, maybe those of you in the room that are under 15 years old, that is what you do with a pen and a piece of paper. And you use letters. you write them out. Our students are so used to just texting, and I don't even know if they have to text the letters out anymore, because you can draw lines all around. And anyway, so you That's what a letter is. I just want to say that. So Steve and I were both 20 years old when we met. For those of you who don't know this story, Steve had moved to Oakley, Kansas that summer to do a youth ministry internship. And I was in Goodland, and I was helping the youth group out at my church, trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life. And had pretty much decided that I was going to go off to Bible college, was feeling a call into the ministry. And Steve had just decided to stay in Oakley and not return to college prior to youth camp that summer of 1991, August of 1991. Our churches were going to the same youth group or youth camp, and that summer, neither one of us, we didn't even know each other existed. The pastors from our churches had arranged it for us to travel to Colorado together. And so I was in the parking lot at the church in Goodland. We were loading vehicles and getting ready. We were waiting on them to come. And pretty soon their church van pulled into the parking lot. And while I was finishing up loading, they pulled around the corner and their van driver got out of the van. And some guy about my age with glasses on and wearing white socks with his sandals got out of the van, and I was not impressed at all, not at all. I thought, who is this? As the trip started and the camp week progressed, I began to realize I kind of liked this guy, and I really didn't care if he wore socks with his sandals. This was the beginning of a very short courtship for us. We met in August. We got engaged in October, and we married in April. It was what you call love at first sight. During these 8 months and living an hour away from each other was a challenge at times to get together, especially since our relationship moved so quickly, and Steve was a single youth pastor. That brought some challenges on of itself. There were only certain times during the courtship that we were allowed to see each other, allowed for me to go to Oakley, I should say, at the church's request. And they wanted us to be a godly example. We wanted to be a godly example. And so, you know, we just did that. It was what we did. Cell phones did not exist at that time, and so, you know, long-distance phone calls were expensive. We didn't have a lot of money, and so we chose to write letters to each other. These letters became so valuable to us during our courtship. There was always a surprise in them. At the end of them, there was always important information. And I did some looking last night. I was pulling boxes out of the storage room last night, and I have in my hand here, kind of cool. I thought it was kind of cool. I have all the letters that we wrote to each other. We saved them, and I was reading through them, and you know, it was just something that we could hang on to throughout the week. We would maybe see each other once a week, sometimes twice a week. Phone calls were sporadic. But I always knew I was going to get a letter in the mail. And at the end of them, there was always an important information, something to hang on to until the next phone call could happen or the next letter arrived. Like, I can't wait to talk to you on Tuesday night on the phone, or can't wait to see you on Saturday. And then as we got closer to the wedding date, it was like, I can't wait to be married to you. And, you know, I could read you some of these, but I'm not going to. Sorry, you don't get to see them. So unlike Paul's letter in the book of Romans, you do not get to read them. I was so grateful for those letters, and I couldn't wait to get the mail at the end of my workday. I'm sure my mom and dad, they were like, these goofy kids always writing letters to each other. And I'd say, did I get a letter today? In chapter 16 of Romans, we come to the end of Paul's letters to the Romans, which was so full of theological truth and important information for the churches. Our church was included in what he was saying and writing. Paul had purpose in every word that he wrote, even to the end. Let's read Romans 16, 1 through 2 together. And I am going to read this in the New Living Translation. It says this, and Paul writes, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon in the church in Cenchrea. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. Help her in whatever she needs, for she has been a help to many, and especially to me." Paul begins this chapter with an endorsement of a girl named Phoebe. In a list of 26 names there in that chapter, she is the first. Paul is not wasting words here. After 15 chapters communicating critical theological information and teaching, he intentionally turns his attention to people, real people. He is giving a shout out to people who have come alongside him to do the work of the ministry, to people he loves, admires, and respects. They are Jews and Gentiles, male and female, from different status and positions. They are colleagues who have been alongside him in the faith and in the ministry, who have put their lives and at times on the line, their reputation. In verse 1, he starts out with something extremely unexpected. He introduces this unlikely girl to the reader. He says, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon in the church." These verses carry significant importance to us and to the reader of that day, and the reader would have known why. He was commending Phoebe to them. What does that mean? He was affirming her. He was recommending her. She is trustworthy. She has good character. I want you to listen to her. I want you to pay attention to her. Next, notice how he describes her. She is a sister. She was a believer in Jesus, and she is one of us. She is a part of our family. In saying that, he was saying specifically, talking to the brothers in the room. You guys don't get off the hook today just because it's Mother's Day and I'm speaking. He was saying, "Okay, men, unlike society, unlike we see on the streets, I want you to treat this girl with respect. I want you to honor her. I want you to treat her like she is your very own sister. You honor one another. The brothers honor the sisters honor the brothers." And I see that in this church, and I think that's just awesome how you treat one another with respect in this place. This way of communication was very common in letters. What Paul was doing was he was networking. And I love networking. I recently took the Strength Finder with some of you. It's an assessment, and one of my top strengths is connecting. And it's very important, and I love that. But what Paul was doing, he was doing just that. He was networking. He was connecting Phoebe to those he wanted her to have relationship with. He was saying, "This girl is important to you. She is going to help you, and I want you to trust her and listen to her." So who is Phoebe? Who was this girl? And why was she the first person Paul mentioned? And why was it so important to endorse her? Phoebe could have been standing there or close to Paul when he was writing this. Can you imagine? You will see why in a minute. But as we talk for the next few moments, I'm going to give you insight in who she was and as well give us some valuable principles about her life that are going to encourage you today. The first thing I want to share with you is that your past does not dictate your future. Some of you in this room, if that's all that you hear today, you'll be jumping for joy that your past does not dictate your future. One of the most amazing things about Phoebe is her name. You see, her name gives us insight into her past. It signifies where she comes from. The name Phoebe was a secular name in Roman culture. It was a name given to slave girls. Scholars say Phoebe was most likely a slave. She was born chained to a life with no future. And Roman slavery wasn't pretty, especially not for girls. Often they were shackled, they were whipped, and even sexually abused. Phoebe, the name we are reading about this morning, was born into that. It is a throwaway person in society, born chained, the lowest of low, yet somehow, some way, she gained her freedom. She moved beyond the chains to the future God had for her. Scripture doesn't clearly say that, and theologians don't really know for sure how that happened, but it happened. That is so amazing that in that day that this one slave is now being talked about by the greatest theologian in history of the church. And he's saying, I recommend this girl to you. She's a good person. She's a respectable person. And when she comes to you, pay attention to her. It's incredible to me, although we don't know how she became free, she did. And now she's living free. God was using her probably beyond her wildest dreams. She probably, more than most, understood that scripture of Romans 6:18. It says, now you are free from slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. God loves to free people from their past, and he loves to give us a future. Amen. The second thing I want you to see in the scripture and to learn from Phoebe is that the perception of others does not define your potential. This is important for Phoebe to understand, and this is important for us to understand, but very important for Phoebe to understand in that day. Paul goes on in his recommendation for her in verse 1. He says, this is about Phoebe. She is a deacon in the church, Centuria. Welcome her in the Lord as one worthy of honor. This was unusual in Roman society that Paul would be saying this. Paul is saying, welcome her as a leader. Welcome her as a deacon in the church. And not only that, give her honor. A deacon in this context may be different in your mind depending on what your background is. You could think of it today as a board member in the church, but it had a broader context in that day. A deacon in this context was someone who was viewed as a leader in the church, who came alongside other leaders to serve, to teach, and to help in church matters. Paul used that very same word to describe himself and his service, and Timothy as well. Paul was saying to the reader, receive her just as you receive me. The fact that she had leadership position was unthinkable in Roman culture. Along with being a former slave, she had two major strikes against her. The first one was that Phoebe was a woman. She was a woman, and women in that day were producers of children and often just sex slaves. They didn't have rights. They were rarely, if ever, given a voice. They were marginalized and uneducated. Only 5% would have been able to read. So being a woman was a strike against her. The second thing, Phoebe was unmarried and had no heirs. How do we know this? There's no mention of a husband, no mention of family, revealing that most likely she had neither. She was single. In society where women were defined by men, by the men in their lives, their husbands and their sons. So not only could she have allowed her past to minimize her future, she could have let perceptions of others determine her worth. You can't, Phoebe. You can't. Phoebe, you're not good enough. Phoebe, you are single. You're childless. You're not qualified. She could have easily given in to societal norm, felt sorry for herself, sat on the sidelines, and she would have missed out on an amazing opportunity to serve and lead alongside Paul. She understood Romans 12:2. It says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." She didn't wait for everyone else's thinking to be changed and to become like Christ. She said, "I'm going to change the view of myself. I'm going to view myself like God views me." Then it says, "You will learn to know God's will for you." Once your thinking has been changed, you can know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You see, when Jesus came, he turned the world's perception, the value of people, upside down. He said, "Every single person is valuable, no matter their gender, no matter their background, no matter their season in life. They have equal worth, and they have a purpose in the kingdom of God on the earth." Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things he planned for us long ago." You are God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. Phoebe understood this. She planted it in her heart, believed God's word about herself, and she chose to walk in the truth of what that meant for her. That her potential was not dictated by the views of others or by society's standards, but by Jesus Christ, who lived and resided in her heart. And that goes for everyone in here. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've been chained to, no matter what you've been taught, what has been said about you or over you, God has a plan for your life. And his plan is good, and to use you no matter what season of life you are in, no matter what qualifications you have or don't have, he has given you everything you need to do what he's called you to do. Phoebe understood that, a slave girl. The third thing I want us to see is your position in life right now is a platform for God to use you. Paul not only asked the reader to respect Phoebe, but he asked the reader to take care of her. He says in verse 2, "Help her. Take care in whatever she needs, for she has been helpful to me and many others." It's obvious that Phoebe has been serving from Paul's words. She has been serving Paul and others in the church for some time. He is saying, "She has been a blessing to me. over and over again. She has been a blessing to me, and she has been a blessing to you, to all the churches. This girl was incredible. The word helper in this verse signifies she had distinguished herself as a willing servant of God, offering to help others over and over again. She used her platform for ministry, for service. She was generous. She was open with what she had. She opened her home to those who needed help. She opened her home to the church. She gave. A lot of people want to be used by God. A lot of people say, God, use me. Yet they stop there. For whatever reason, their being used never happens. Maybe they feel inadequate. Maybe they stop at point one and two and think people might think this about me, or my past has disqualified me. Maybe they just don't feel needed. Maybe their eyes just have not been opened, or maybe they haven't asked God to open their eyes or to the needs around them. Or maybe they aren't into doing the little things. I want you to take a look around in your mind. Where do you see the needs around you? Because I'm telling you, in this room right now, there are a lot of needs. If you just look around this room, there are a lot of needs. God has a place for you here. Too many times we limit what God can do because we limit what we are willing to do. Listen to this. At the time of Paul's writing, scholars say that Phoebe was well known in Rome. This girl who was a slave is now influencing Roman culture. She's traveling much and has business dealings in cities across Rome. She is a prominent figure now in the business community, an influential servant in the church world. She's busier than ever, more important than ever, wealthier than ever. Yet her success did not distinguish or diminish her service. She had most likely started serving as soon as she became a believer. She most likely said, what can I do? How can I help? I have an apartment. Maybe as God blessed her, her home grew. Her wealth grew, her influence grew, but she didn't use that as an excuse to say, I don't have time to give. She didn't say, I have a little more to give in the offering, but I don't have time to serve. Her success did not diminish her service. It escalated it. God, use my life however you want it to be used. I don't know how Phoebe started serving, but it was probably something pretty small. It was probably something like, can I help you, Paul? Can I get you some pencils, or back then some ink and a feather pin? I don't know what he used. How can I serve you? What do you need? Can I get you a glass of water? She came alongside an influential theologian and leader and said, what do you need? I want to use my life to build and strengthen the church. I want to use my life to help others. Show me how. Here I am. Michael, if you'll go ahead and make your way up. The fourth thing I want you to see this morning is your courage and commitment paves the way for others to find Jesus. Church scholars would concur that this once slave girl named Phoebe was commissioned by Paul to carry the letter of Romans to the churches. So she was probably standing there that day as Paul was writing this. Phoebe, I want you to take them to the end of the letter when you get to the church and you're there with the pastor and the leader. Take them to the end of the letter, and I want you to read this to them. I commend to you Phoebe. Listen to her. Honor her. Respect her. Provide for her. I can't imagine the battle Paul was in when he wrote those words. The enemy's attack was on him when he was writing to us to understand God's beautiful message of grace and freedom. I can see him rolling up the papers, maybe tying something around to hold them together, and handing them to Phoebe, saying, "Carry this message for me. Carry the message of the gospel, Phoebe. Take it around Rome so they can know how much God loves them. You take the message, Phoebe. I'm entrusting this work with you." Not only was she carrying and delivering this message to the churches, she would have been the one to explain it if they had any questions. Phoebe, a former slave girl. Theologians are clear that she not only explained it, but Paul had explained it to her, and now she would be the one that would sit and read it and explain it to the leaders around Rome. Is that not incredible? This says so much about how God can use each and every one of us. To put it plainly, the single former slave girl was the first teacher and commentator on the book of Romans. Right here, the book of Romans. We have Phoebe's courage and commitment and service to thank for the letter Paul wrote to us. The letter we hold in our hands. So here's the deal. Phoebe is no different than you, and Phoebe is no different than me. God wants to use you just like he used her. He wants to use you to serve others. He wants to use you to build the church. He wants to use you to carry the message to people that don't know Jesus. He wants to use you to carry the message to those who don't know Jesus. At this time, I'm going to ask Caleb and the guys that I've asked to help me with the end here to go ahead and come on up. You see, this message has been super convicting to me as I've studied it this week. I knew back in my teen years, after going to a women's retreat with my mom, a former pastor's wife from our church was speaking at this retreat, and it was a powerful message. I can remember what she talked about. Do you have one foot in the world and one foot out of the world? And she drew this line across the platform, and people responded to her message. And we got in the car to go home after that, and I remember I started crying, and my mom said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I'm going to do that someday." I said, "I'm going to be a pastor's wife, and I'm going to speak." And for those of you that know me, he kind of attested to this, but anytime I've been asked to speak, I get really nervous. I'm really nervous today. But the other thing that I do, I get at home, I'm a mess. I'm bouncing off the walls. I say, "Steve, I can't do this." And he says, "Yes, you can." I said, "No, I can't. I can't do this." He says, yes, you can. You can do it. So this has definitely been something that I've resisted for a few years, to stand up here and proclaim the word of God. Like I said, I can get up and sing. For many years, I was in dance, and I'd get up and I'd dance on the platform, and I would sing. I was in pageants. I went to modeling school. Some of you don't even know that. I've had the training, but I never thought I could get up here and do this. I told myself, I'm not good enough. I'm not educated enough. I mean, I didn't go to Bible college. I put my husband through Bible college, but I didn't go to Bible college. But you know what? Even back in that day, God gave me a platform. It wasn't to get up here and speak to crowds, but my platform was to serve my husband. My platform was to serve beside him, to help him get through Bible college so he could lead a church, so that he could get up here and speak to you all. Right where I was at, he gave me a platform. In our home, in our job, in our church. And then the next phase of life hit. I stayed home and I raised babies. I worked a few part-time jobs here and there just to help out with finances when I could. I started working full-time when the boys got into their middle school, high school years. But first and foremost, I was a mom. I was just a mom during those years, and he gave me a platform. The platform of raising two amazing boys who love Jesus. I have no regrets. I have no regrets about not going to Bible college. I have no regrets. I believe it's the highest calling anyone could ever have, is to be a mom and a dad. Now that our boys are raised, he's beginning to give me other platforms. Right here, right now, the season that I'm in, could this possibly be a time for me to start speaking? I'm available. Is it the platform of leading our women's ministry at Life Point Church to a place that it's never been? To continue serving my husband and our boys and their families whenever that happens? To be the best grandma I can be? I can't wait. Our platform is our position wherever we are at. He wants to use you right where you are at, right where you are. So don't waste any more time. God needs you, and he needs me to tell our husbands, our families, our coworkers about Jesus. Our world needs us. Don't stay stuck or chained to your past, to the perceptions of those around you. I'd like to invite all the ladies up here this morning. Go ahead. These guys have a rose and a letter to give you. Go ahead and make your way up. I want to say the last words that I just said. He has a platform for every one of you. Every one of you ladies, every one of you men, he has a platform for you. God is calling all of you to himself, and he's saying, lay it down. You guys can stay up here. I want you to stay up here. I need you to be with me during this. God, he's calling you to himself and he's saying, lay it down. Lay down the bitterness. Lay down the timidity. Lay down your fears. Whatever's holding you back, give it to God. He wants to use your life and give you a platform right where you are at. Your courage is going to pave the way for others to find Jesus. Your courage is going to pave the way for others to find Jesus. Each one of you are receiving a rose and a letter. This letter is from me, and you can read it later. It's just a letter to remind you of this day, May 12, 2019. That no matter who you are, where you come from, or who others say that you are, you know that you have a platform in the position that you find yourself in. Single ladies, moms on this Mother's Day, students. I was thinking, I wonder how old Phoebe was. Young girls. I mean, they call Phoebe a, or he said she's a, was a slave girl. I wonder how old she was when she came to know Christ. I wonder how old she was when she was sitting there watching Paul write. I know this is Mother's Day, but I want all of you ladies to know how special you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what age you are, if you're young or if you're old. You have a platform. If you're in college, you have a platform. If you're in the third grade, you have a platform. You have worth. And your courage is going to pave the way for others to find Jesus. So be confident in who you are in Christ. Amen? Be confident because he has a place for you. Let's pray.
Everybody dance. Everybody, this concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.